Overall, what is important about this list of changes that you put together?
Well, I think the main thing that people want to know is that the most of the changes are technical in nature and not really substantive. What I found really interesting about the final rules was all of the commentary that DOD published along with the rules.
Why is that significant to you?
Well, the commentary is significant because a lot of the questions that came from contractors when the interim rules were published back in May raised what I think are really good questions. And the response from DOD was, well, those might be really good questions, but we're not going to make any changes at this point.
Okay. You've got, as I mentioned, you've got six things to know about the DFARS contractor business systems rules. I'm just going to read these and ask you to give me a couple of thoughts about each one of these. The contractor business systems requirements do not apply to existing contracts that lack the new DFARS contract clauses. What does that mean?
In other words, if you have an existing contract, you don't have to worry about these clauses. The new contractor's business systems rules are only going to apply to new contracts.
The contractor business systems requirements will apply only to contracts that are subject to the cost accounting standards.
When this rule was first published, the requirement was ambiguous with respect to whether it was going to apply to just CAS-covered contracts or contracts that were cost reimbursement, whether or not they were covered by CAS. The Defense Authorization Act for 2011 made a change to that and said, well, the only thing that we're going to make these apply to are CAS-covered contracts. And it's important for contractors to know that because there are a lot of exemptions to CAS. It's only the largest contracts that are subject to CAS. There's a lot of commercial item exceptions to CAS. Small businesses are not subject to CAS. So if the contract is not subject to CAS, compliance with all these business systems rules is not going to be required.
All right. The third of six that you're writing about is business systems are key elements of contractor responsibility and will be used to determine eligibility for covered contracts.
This is really a key point. In my view, the hard part about the contractor business systems rules is they give the government the right to withhold up to 10% of a contractor's progress payments or interim payments upon a determination that there's a deficiency in their business system. But when there is such a determination, you also have to deal with the idea that you've been deemed non-responsible in some way. And so, therefore, you may not be eligible to perform a government contract. And if the timing of a determination that there's been a significant deficiency is such that it's when you've got a bid open on a contract, it may affect whether you can get that contract, whether you can be awarded that contract.
The fourth one is the 5% withholding authority in the DFARS contractor business systems rules is not the only remedy available for contractor non-conformance. And I'm certainly not a contract lawyer, but if I read between the lines there, it sounds like there may be a hammer coming down on you.
This is an alert that suggests a hammer. You're right. Some of the commentators have said that the problem with the 5% withholding is that it applies whether or not there's any monetary effect on the government. And that's true. But what you would expect to see, or what you can anticipate the government taking this position at least, is that wherever there's a deficiency, there's more to be found. You know, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Mm-hmm.
So you can expect if there's a deficiency, the contracting officer is going to be looking for unallowable costs, fraud, et cetera, and that's where you'd have a real concern.
All right. The fifth one is the Defense Contract Audit Agency's assessment of a contractor business system isn't final.
Well, the key there is that DCAA does not make the determination. The determination of whether you have a contractor business system deficiency is made by the contracting officer. And there is a process in the rules that's laid out about how DCAA makes a recommendation to the contracting officer, how the contracting officer responds, and then how the contractor responds to the contracting officer's determination. And so the process, there's a lot of back and forth that's contemplated in the determination, and whenever DCAA makes a conclusion that there's a deficiency, the contracting officer still has a lot of work to be done, and that presumably would include a lot of talking to the contractor, who would then have an opportunity to try to persuade the contracting officer that there was not a deficiency.
All right. The sixth of your 6 points is that contractors are entitled to challenge an improper assessment of their business systems. At least it sounds like they have some recourse there.
They do have recourse. As you know, the Contract Disputes Act applies to most government contracts. And whenever there is a determination that the contractor has a significant deficiency in his business system, there is an opportunity to challenge that determination under the Contract Disputes Act. Basically, what DOD says is you have to submit a claim. And once the contracting officer receives a claim, then he can make a determination on that, and you go from there, and everybody knows what that process is.
Brian, we're going to post a link to your list of 6 things to know about the DFARS Contractor Business Systems rules at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. How will these 6 points change the way that contractors do business on an ongoing basis with DOD?
Well, I know that a lot of contractors already, since the publication of the interim rule, have begun engaging in a process, what I call a gap analysis, to look at their business systems and compare them to the requirements that the DFARS have set out to determine whether there might be a deficiency and to make changes to those things. That's good. I expect a lot of contractors are doing that. If they haven't started it, they will now. And so there's a lot of work to be done there. What I think contractors ought to be concerned about is, the question of what a significant deficiency is really up in the air. DOD decided not to define that term in the final rule, and give contracting officers the determination, the power to make that determination. So there's going to be a lot of debate about that. And given the Contract Disputes Act authority to challenge that determination, probably some litigation.
You mentioned that there were a lot of comments that the DOD posted along with these changes. Did you get any sense from looking at the interim rules and the final changes here that that we're talking about, and then matching those up with some of the comments that DOD paid a lot of attention to the comments that were made to the interim rules?
DOD certainly paid attention to them. I don't think they ignored any of them. Some of the comments were, possibly overreaching, trying to roll back the statutory requirements that DOD is never going to implement. But on the other hand, a lot of the comments were very good ones. Things like, let's have a more specific definition of the term significant deficiency. Let's give contractors some guidelines as to what they go to, how a significant deficiency is determined. The commentary really is not so much as we decide not to change the rules, but here is how we interpret the rules. So I think contractors can learn a lot just from reading DOD's approach.